a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Iraq.
I'm a hawk.
I would have picked up arms myself to prevent 9/11 again.
I left.
As president, I wanted to give myself the Congressional Medal of Honor, but they wouldn't let me do it. They wouldn't let me do it. I said, I'm going to give myself the kick. I've always wanted that.
We just flew B-52, B-1 bombers in the South China Sea. We're not going to pay attention.
I left.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Eyes Left. This is Mike Preisner. It is Veterans Day, November 11th, 2022, almost 2 years since this show went dark. No new episodes, no social media posts, no explanation. I guess it's not unusual in the podcast age for shows to just disappear like that, even ones that were doing really well like ours. But on my end, it was never something that just disappeared, but something I was constantly thinking about and wrestling with what to do next. All the while, I was really moved by all the encouragement from listeners, very patiently but very persistently asking for us to come back. So after a lot of thought, I'm here to say that this is the debut episode of the relaunch of Eyes Left. And what I'd like to do today is just be really honest, share with you what happened, my long apprehension with continuing the show, and what you can expect from Eyes Left going forward. So let's start with why we stopped and what kept us stopped. Back in early 2021, our dear co-host and co-founder, Spencer Rapone, let me know that he couldn't continue with the show. Spencer and I are still great friends, and when he left the show, he gave me his blessing to continue it however I saw fit. And we made a deal that anytime he felt like talking about anything, he had an open door to come on anytime to talk about whatever he wanted. But as I thought about how I was going to continue the show without him, I just really didn't want to go at it alone. Spencer had just been so important to the show, and I think the real value of the show had been the two of us together. Different experiences, different generations of military service, different areas of knowledge, different wars, different ranks, and even different viewpoints and ideology. This show from the beginning had always been such a great collaboration because I got so much out of my discussions with Spencer. And I just love him so much and honestly did not want to continue doing it without him. He opened my mind to so much. He made it fun. He challenged how I thought about things. He was just the perfect collaborator. You know, I had the idea for Eyes Left about a year or so before I met Spencer, the idea to build a radical, veteran-run, anti-war news show in the tradition of the GI newspapers from the Vietnam War era. But it's not something I wanted to do alone. I had been in touch with Spencer after his courageous protest statement at West Point, but after I heard him interviewed on another podcast, I knew that he was exactly what this project needed, and I'll never forget pitching the idea to him and him immediately wanting to go for it, and it just made me so happy and excited, and I'm just so proud of every episode we did together, and none of it could have happened or been successful at all without him. So I knew I wanted to find a way to do the show with other co-hosts, but also faced with the fact that Spencer is one of a kind and there's really no replacing him. And while I was struggling to figure out how and if to do the show without him, some other things happened that started to put up other barricades for me. One of the reasons I loved doing Eyes Left so much was how much it connected me with people in the military, veterans of my generation and younger, and also people who were considering joining the military, as well as military families or people whose friends were in the military. You know, there is always a lot of behind-the-scenes work of just talking with service members who are becoming politically conscious, those who had deployed and ended up with similar views, other times helping service members apply for conscientious objector status or other of the many bag of tricks you can use to get out, helping vets get involved in political organizing, and many times getting to talk to people who were thinking about going into the military and successfully talking them out of it, both from listeners who felt like they had no options economically or listeners who had family or friends who were considering joining. All that was such a rewarding experience that really validated the entire goal and point of this podcast to begin with. But as I was considering how to continue the show without Spencer, we lost two members of the Eyes Left community in a way that really made this role feel intimidating and quite hard. The first was a friend and comrade of mine named Zach Patterson. Zach was, like myself, in the invasion of Iraq in 2003, then did a second tour, really committed himself to political activism in recent years. But in early 2021, he left behind a wife and young daughter to join the huge number of soldiers who survived the war but succumbed to the trauma almost two decades later. He was actually one of the people on the list of names I tried to read to George W. Bush, which I will talk about in a little bit. But his death by suicide made me wish I could have done more and made me question even having this responsibility at all. Not long after, I got news about someone I had tried to talk out of joining the military, a young man named Donald Galagos, who was an activist in Albuquerque. He was a really progressive guy, but for several reasons felt the military was his only option. I had several long phone conversations with Donald trying to convince him otherwise, but he ended up joining the Navy anyway. He was in just about a year before he was found dead on his ship during a sea deployment. We never learned all the details of what happened, but having that happen with two people who I met through Eyes Left just added a different weight and heaviness to this project, and it kind of demoralized me quite a bit from continuing. Then there was the George W. Bush thing. As many listeners probably saw, about a year ago, I disrupted a speech by George W. Bush, got to yell a bunch of shit at him, and got dragged out by security. And while it was really celebrated by, like, the biggest audience I've ever been exposed to, and it appealed to such a huge variety of people, because, you know, who doesn't hate George W. Bush, it was just a really weird experience for me personally. I'm definitely happy that I did it. It's funny, right before the invasion of Iraq, George Bush actually came to my duty station at Fort Drum to give a speech to the division, and each battalion had to pick like two of their star soldiers to sit behind him during the speech for all the photos. And so, of course, your boy got picked, and my mom still has this full-page newspaper photo of Bush speaking, and there I am right over his shoulder in the image. And again, this is right before the invasion. So for it all to come around full circle like that was really meaningful for me. And most importantly, I got to say to his face what so many who are touched by the war would want to say. But the whole thing afterwards was just weird. I kind of expected it would just get seen among the anti-war community and hopefully inspire some similar actions, which it did. The following day, a great guy named Jeb Sprague, who had a close family member who was destroyed by the war, interrupted Bush in Long Beach, and a woman named Tamara Yorinks did the same in Canada. The part that got weird for me was it went, like, way too viral. On one single account, it got like 60 million views. With all the others combined, it was definitely way over 100 million views. And I honestly did not like that much attention. It's hard to explain, but just made me not want to be seen or heard for a while. Part of it, I think, was it being like a social media thing where I felt like a lot of the virality was just because once something starts to go viral, especially on TikTok, it just becomes a way for influencers and content creators to capture some of that virality. And there was, I feel, too much focus on this idea of who I am and me instead of attention on Bush as a war criminal and the people who suffered in Iraq and in the veterans community. I also kind of felt like some of what I said was interpreted in a way I wasn't comfortable with. Because I was interrupted, I didn't get to say everything that I wanted to. Part of what I was doing was reading a list of names of Iraqis who had been killed in different massacres, as well as many friends and comrades from the anti-war struggle who died by suicide after the war or from their injuries or from toxic exposure. People I really think about all the time and was thinking about a lot the night before as I was preparing for the Bush event. And doing that to illustrate that for Bush and for the people in that room, the Iraq war was very much over, very much in the past. But for everyone touched by it, it is a thing that still is taking lives daily, on top of the thousands of soldiers and million Iraqis who were killed during the course of the war. But in the social media frenzy, I felt like it got turned into about how I am this poor guy who has suffered so badly. And even though I've had my share of bad experiences, as did the people around me, I was extremely lucky compared to what came next in the war. And so for people who weren't familiar with my experiences before, maybe created a different idea of who I am. And it was like the more the video got seen, the more it abstracted who I was and the stories I've been sharing over the years. Being in Iraq myself and then being so immersed in the anti-war movement until the war ended, being around so many other veterans, military families who had lost loved ones, people from Iraq, I was just so in touch with the misery that Bush created by being just a lying piece of shit. And so after I was able to explode out all that rage at him, part of me was like, now I've said everything I can say, and maybe I don't need to say anything anymore. And part of it, like I said, was just being turned off by the weirdness of the whole experience in the TikTok age, feeling like I became a caricature of some kind instead of the focus being on those I was trying to honor. Which ties into the next big reason why I was reluctant to continue Eyes Left. This is something that Spencer and I had discussions about all the time and on several episodes. And it is this desire to break with the identity of a military veteran. We've talked about how we got rid of all our memorabilia from the Army, tried to avoid telling new people we meet about that background. You know, part of it is political, right? Like if we hate the institution of the U.S. military so much, why even associate with it or amplify this status as a veteran? But a lot of it is personal, too. The desire to grow past it, to not think about it all the time, to not let something that was just 4 years of your life and 1 year overseas 2 decades ago define who you are today. I think, you know, every veteran goes through this at some level. When you first get out, everything reminds you of a story from the military or from a deployment, and you have to put a lot of effort into self-regulating so you're not just talking about it all the time. Also, it's a lot of stuff you don't want to think about anymore. And so how are we supposed to distance ourselves from those experiences and those memories when it's something we surround ourselves with the reminders of and attach to our identities? Before we even started Eyes Left, this is something I was struggling with and had pretty much started turning down all interview requests related to me being a veteran. But I am passionate about soldiers' anti-war activity, and so the desire to break with the past was overridden by the excitement of what we could accomplish with Eyes Left. And so there was a kind of relief when Spencer said he had to drop out, that I too could again start to separate myself from that world and that identity. Not to mention, I had my hands full with work at Empire Files, especially starting this current film that we're working on about U.S. military pollution. Plus, there's just a lot of other veterans out there doing great work like Eyes Left. I thought maybe it's no big loss if we bow out. There's the people over at Left Flank Vets who have built a great community doing lefty veteran streaming. The guys at What a Hell of a Way to Die podcast do great stuff. One of the most important voices, in my opinion, Danny Scherson, is a really prolific writer and podcaster. There's a podcast called Courage to Resist by Jeff Patterson that profiles many important war resistors and preserving that history. So I thought, hey, the bases are all covered. But after hearing from so many of you out there about what Eyes Left meant to them, the unique views it delivered, preserving little-known bits of radical military history, its purpose of reaching those within the ranks who could be brought over to a socialist and anti-war perspective, its usage for people not in the military to help understand and reach out to their friends and family who are in the military to have political conversations with, all that made a huge difference for me. And a few months ago, I decided that I really did want to bring back Eyes Left somehow because the work is something I can't help but be passionate about. One of the biggest things that kept that ember alive for me was the really unforgettable experience after Trump almost started a war with Iran. I was contacted in large part through Eyes Left by literally dozens of active duty personnel who were suddenly moved into political motion, who were determined to refuse to take part in any war against Iran. Everyone from sailors out at sea to guys in special operations. I had never experienced that in all my years organizing GIs, even during the worst years of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, at a time when the anti-war movement in the broader population was definitely much larger. I believe that if there had been a war, and we really were on the precipice, but I believe that if the war had been started with Iran, that that core of people I was in touch with would have not only resisted themselves and likely resisted publicly, but as a network would have become the bedrock of a much larger rebellion within the military, the type of thing that can be decisive in preventing or ending a war. So really, that potential is there, bubbling under the surface. I had always thought, when the next war crisis breaks out, what opportunities will be missed if Eyes Left no longer existed as a magnet for radical-minded troops? Not to say we are super popular or important, but the Iran war debacle showed me that even small projects can become something much more significant during key moments. So that's a central reason why I wanted to get this back on track. For all the ways I can help contribute to this community in the day-to-day, but also to help in any way to build another base for anti-war activity when the next moment of crisis inevitably comes. Now that all that is out of the way, Eyes Left programming is coming back. It'll be different than before, since I'll be handling a lot of it on my own, but you can expect more radical military history episodes, interviews with veterans who went through the transformation. So many of us have in-depth reports on different topics and figures in politics today, and I'm going to be doing a monthly military news segment with a surprise co-host who I am very excited to introduce you to soon, who was actually my closest friend in the Army who just retired after 20 years. We'll be reviewing all the bullshit happening within the ranks. Another administrative change to solve the problem of having other job responsibilities is Eyes Left will now officially be a project of the Empire Files. Soon, I'll be shutting down the Eyes Left Patreon, so everyone who wants to continue supporting this podcast or start supporting it, do so by switching over to patreon.com/empirefiles, and that way you can fund Eyes Left, but get access to all the exclusive Empire Files content as well. You should know that Empire Files is a registered 501c3 nonprofit. So now all of your donations to Eyes Left are tax deductible. It's like you're not giving up any money at all. I just want to thank each and every one of you who has pushed me to get the show back up and running. Each one of you really did make the difference. Special thanks to Ricky, who designed the new artwork. Ricky is a Marine infantry Afghanistan veteran who does really hard-hitting political artwork. You can find his stuff on Instagram at IsolationUS or at IsolationUSA.com. Thank you, as always, to John Preisner, a.k.a. Anahedron, for taking his original Eyes Left theme song and transforming it into something new for the relaunch. And of course, a forever thank you to Spencer Rapone, who is the reason this program is here in the first place. As always, you can contact us through our email, eyesleftpod@gmail.com. But the better way is to send us a DM on Twitter at eyesleftpod, and then I will respond to you with a secure Signal phone number that you could contact me on there. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this short update, and stay tuned for the return of Eyes Left.
Eyes Left.